Thank you, Jill, for the children's message today. And thank you, Emily, for coming forward. You need to know that Jill is Emily's mentor. So they have this relationship, right? Okay. Join me in a word of prayer. Loving and gracious Lord, our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart bring you glory and honor. Amen. For those of you who had been on this journey called discipleship for some time, I think you will attest that this journey can be challenging at times. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
When we first receive Christ in our lives, I think we have an idea of maybe how our life with Christ will unfold. And yet, life happens. And sometimes when life happens, our faith is shaken, and then there are some uncertainties. Can I get a witness today? Am I speaking to myself only? What do we do when what we are witnessing in the world does not appear to be in alignment with who we believe God is and how God will act? You know that this weekend, yesterday, marked the 25th anniversary of the massacre at Columbine High School. I would suggest to you that there were people who, after witnessing that experience, and some who even lived through it, were trying to figure out who God is, and they maybe even ask, God, why did you let that happen? Or, God, why did you let that happen? It's not uncommon for folks to be accosted by life and be shaken in their faith. See, this is why the community of faith is so important. The community of faith where people read God's word, studies God's word, meditate on God's word together and also individually so that we can build up one another as we see how the scriptures help us to understand who God is and also who God is not. Those of you who remember the Columbine massacre 25 years ago and the 404 mass shootings, school shootings since then, you know that sin abounds in this world because this is a fallen world. You know that sin is manifested in various ways. You also know that humanity has what is called a free will. God has not created us to be robots. God has not created us to be puppets whereby God is pulling the strings. No, God has given each and every person who has been created in God's image free will to live out in a world that has fallen because of sin. So how do I understand who this God is and who God is not? I read God's word. I study God's word. I meditate on God's word individually and in community with other believers of Jesus Christ. Now, let me just ask you to take a mental test. If you are watching TV more than you are reading, studying, and meditating on God's word, I would suggest to you that you're going to be a bit confused about who God is. Not only do we read, study, and meditate on God's word individually and collectively to understand who God is, but we also look to the one who is the highest revelation of God, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who said in God's word, the Father and I are one. If you want to know who God is and how God thinks, then pay attention to his son, Jesus Christ, what he said, how he lived here on earth. Jesus Christ, the manifestation of God, Jesus Christ, who exhibits God's love for humankind. 1 John tells us that Jesus Christ gave his life for us, the manifestation of God's love. So if I want to know who God is, then I will do what? I will read God's word. I will study God's word. I will meditate on God's word. And I will look to Jesus Christ, who is the highest revelation of God. Pastor, why are you stressing this? I'm stressing it because the writer of 1 John is talking to a community of faith. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the community of faith, that he wants the community of faith to understand how they are to live amongst one another. I'm stressing this because there are a lot of voices that are trying to get the attention of the follower of Jesus Christ regarding who God is. And yet, when we remember what we've read, what we've meditated on, what we've studied in God's word, and as we look at Jesus Christ, we know that what they're proposing as who God is not true. The writer of 1 John reminds us of two things, really more than two, but I want to lift up several things to you. Don't count, I will. The first thing that he wants to share with this community of faith, who I would suggest to you, has experienced what I would call a spiritual whiplash and even biblical whiplash. He wants them to understand that God loves them. Pastor, why would you say that? Because you know by now that this is a congregation who, in their midst, had false teachers. False teachers who told them that Jesus Christ was only spirit, Jesus Christ was not a human being. So these false teachers are in the midst of this community of faith that has been taught Jesus Christ is fully divine and Jesus Christ is fully human. And because Jesus Christ is fully human, Jesus Christ can connect with and experience all that you are experiencing as a human being. He has the empathy, the concern, and the passion. And yet Jesus Christ never sinned. They're false teachers. And so these false teachers are called out and they leave. These were the same false teachers who were sitting next to those who remained in the church. These are the same false teachers who I would suggest to you ate with the other brothers and sisters who remained in the church, who prayed with the brothers and sisters who were still in the church, who fellowshipped with the brothers and sisters who were in the church, and yet they were false teachers. And so when they left, those who remained had to deal with the fact that some of the teachings they've been listening to were not false. I call that spiritual whiplash and biblical whiplash because they had to deal with the fact that what I thought, what I was being taught was true, but now these false teachers come up and they're teaching something else. This, beloved, is why we have to read God's word for ourselves, study God's word for ourselves, meditate on God's word for ourselves, and also in community. So when I look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24, the first thing that the writer wants to remind his very fragile new community of faith and what he wants to remind us of, it's the one God loves us. And secondly, he wants to remind us that because God loves us, in the giving of his son, Jesus Christ. We see how that love was manifested. Jesus Christ gave his life for us. So we're to give our lives for our brothers and sisters. And let me just share with you before you get nervous. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24, the writer is not saying we are to literally die for our brothers and sisters. No, what he is saying to us, and it's really clear, isn't it? If you see a brother or sister in need, meet their need if you're able to. How many times do we try to figure out why people have a need? If only they would do A, B, C, D, then there would not be a need, right? That's not what he said. He said, if your brother and sister has a need and you can meet that need, meet the need. And being in dialogue with them, you may find out why they are in need, and you may be able to point them to some other resources that can assist them long term regarding the systems and structures that are in place that constantly keeps them in need. Give me an example, Pastor. I'm glad to. We got people who are striving to go to work, and yet because of how their hours are, they will never be able to work full time. They will never be able to have the kind of income whereby they can live independently. Why is that? That's a great question. You may want to look at some laws that says, I can hire you and you can work up to, but not equivalent to, full time. I can hire you and I can rearrange your schedule that you can barely survive on the income. So is that why some people in our communities are working two and three jobs? So he says, if you see a need, meet the need. But he also says to us, and I really want to zero in on this one, and that is, don't let your heart condemn you for doing the good that you're striving to do. Have you ever tried to do something good for someone and you really tried with all of your heart, and as soon as you carried out that act, these mental tapes started playing? Oh, you should have done more. Have you ever had that experience? Okay, don't raise your hands. Negative self-talk. He talks about self-condemnation. Now, there are some people who live in that world of self-condemnation. They're always condemning themselves because they didn't do enough. They should have done more. Here's the good news that the author of 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24 shares with us. Stop playing the self-condemnation tapes, because God knows your heart. And God knows that you attempted to do your best. Easier said than done, Pastor. Yes, it is. But that's why within the community of faith, we can talk to those who love us or walking alongside us and just say, pray for me, pray with me, help me regarding this matter of constantly condemning myself. And not accepting the fact that God sees my heart. This text also shares with us 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. It deals with the issue of prayer. There are some people who think prayer is like, I don't gamble. There are some people who think prayer is like a rabbit's foot. It's all about love. Well, this text reminds us that God does hear the prayers of those who pray to God and who seek an answer from God. And the text, and I know this text has been taken out of context, the text says, when you pray to God, God will hear your prayers and answer your prayers, right? But what's the criteria? That we live in obedience to God. Is that right? So is it about rabbit's foot, or is it about our seeking to know God and then to pray in accordance to the will of God, which is revealed in God's word? And by the way, for those of you who are still waiting for an answer, you know, for some of us, God has said yes. For others of us, God has not answered yet. You think it's a no. I would suggest to you, what you think is a no is really God saying, I'm not saying no. I have something better for you. Don't think I've said no because I've not answered. No, I have something better for you. Finally, as I look at this particular text, what brings me hope on this April 21st of 2024 is that as I continue to live out my faith within the community of faith, as I continue to read God's word, study God's word, and meditate on God's word, I have the utmost assurance that I am following God through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity that in some churches people don't talk about. I was listening to a longtime follower of Jesus Christ, no one here, who said, I'm afraid of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, but it's the Holy Spirit who will lead and guide and convict you. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers you. It's the Holy Spirit who has been given to us as an advocate. And because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we know that we can continue to live within this community of faith. We can live as followers of Jesus Christ, seeking to be all who God is calling us to be. You know, I don't watch Saturday Night Live. You may have watched it. I mean, years ago I watched it. You know, it just comes on too late for me at night, and that anyway, I can do other things with my time if I were to stay up that late. But I thought about SNL, and I thought, this is what I want the congregation to know. As they look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24, and even as they look at Psalm 23, thank you, Jill, I want them to know about God's SKL. I start to say God's SNL, but you would say, no, Pastor, that's not correct. So it's really God's SKL. This is what I want you to know. As a result of today's text, God sees you. God knows you, the good, the not so good. And here's the kicker. I love it. God loves you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've been going through, no matter the uncertainties, the struggles, God's SKL. God sees you. God knows you. That we don't know, God knows you. And in the midst of all of that, God still loves you. Amen. So what we ask is that you continue to seek God. Learn all that God would have you to know about God and God's incomprehensible love for you as revealed through Jesus Christ. Amen.